Thank you so much. Thank you to our praise band. A little fuller today. Glad to see it. Thank you, Turner, for your testimony as well. Love the t-shirts, by the way. Good to see you today. We're glad that you're here. Would you take your Bibles, find Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be reading verses 9 through 13. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. We are certainly glad that you all are here today. Now, last week you would have had to go a little further south to get snow. Today you got to go a little further north. So we're just in the middle. Sorry. Or, for me, I'm glad that you're here. We appreciate you being here. No place I'd rather be, no place I know that the Lord wants you to be than right here to be today. He's gathered us here together for such a time as this so that we might be able to come and be together in the name. Great Spirit today. We know it's the Holy Spirit that is at work. We're looking forward to what the Lord's going to be doing today, and I know that you're glad that you also are here as well. Just lots of things happening. You'll be hearing more about it, announcement time and those kind of things. But next Sunday afternoon at 5:45, or Sunday evening, I guess it's dark by then, but is Vision Night, along with our celebration service and business meeting that we have a couple of times a year. But we'll be sharing a little bit more of our vision, His vision that the Lord has for us, and some of the things that we can anticipate that the Lord's going to be doing over the next 5 years. So we encourage you to come and to be a part of that. Today, we are continuing in Matthew, so we're spending several weeks and even months in Matthew and learning about the majesty of Christ and about his kingship. Matthew kind of certainly focuses on the kingship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and how we are a part of that kingdom and how do we be at work in that kingdom. So this is the Word of God now in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, and it reads like this. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." May the Lord bless the reading of his holy word today. Most recognizable, maybe the most famous person today in college football, don't even have to say his name, you know who it is. You know it's Fernando Mendoza. His accomplishments and his personality draw people to him. And I like him. I like him not just because he's the Heisman Trophy winner, not just because he's the quarterback of the Indiana Hoosiers, has never won a national championship until this past week. Not just because he's probably going to be the number one draft in the NFL. Not just because he gave half of the money from his winnings or money that he had this year to give to or on behalf of his mom who has MS. Many of you, you think you know why I like him. You think about, you know, like him because every time they interview him, he gives glory to God. Now, it's become popular these days to give glory to God. I don't know that you've noticed, particularly from winning quarterbacks and winning teams, I guess. And I just hope that they're also giving glory to God even when they're not on top. Now, I've come to like him even more because I heard the story of a young boy and that he befriended a young boy by the name, 10-year-old boy, Drew Shouse, who was born of a rare heart disease, had many surgeries since, continues to fight the heart-related battles. The quarterback and the team, entire team, have befriended him, and Mendoza particularly was sure that he was able to have tickets to the Rose Bowl as well as to the championship, national championship game, and Drew has complete access to him and to all of the team they have had all season. Drew chose this team, the Indiana Hoosiers, 3 years ago through program that's called Team Impact. Now, imagine that if you know anything about Indiana football, because 3 years ago they were among the worst losers in all of college football, and now they have become the winners, of course. Drew inspires the team, and he's friends with the most popular guy in college football. It's an unlikely friendship. We see once again the verses that we read, Jesus often calls the unlikely to come and to be his friends and to be his servant, draws them to himself. I, for one, am glad that the Lord calls the unlikely because I would be among the unlikely that he calls us to be his friend, provide salvation, and to give life and eternal life. You can be sure that if you're a follower of Jesus, it is because God has seen you in through the Lord Jesus has called you out in order that you might have an encounter with him. Jesus came to Matthew at the tax collector booth and said those words, follow me. In this short passage, we can envision three scenes here. We know that there's the calling of Matthew. When he calls Matthew, he changes Matthew, gives him a brand new heart. There's a second scene here. It's the scene where we're inside the house of Matthew, and Jesus is the guest of honor. The disciples been invited, as well as Matthew's tax collector friends called tax collectors and sinners. And then there's the third scene, and that's where they have the confrontation with the Pharisees, that they're dumbfounded that Jesus and the disciples would be hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. These three scenes, I think, are going to help us today. They're going to help us to be able to understand our vision as a church and our mission as a church. Let me remind you just a little bit. Parkway's vision is to love God, love Auburn, love the nations. We know that we need to continue to grow in our love for the Lord Jesus. We love Auburn, not necessarily just the orange and blue, but we love the place and the people in which the Lord has planted us as long as we are here. And we want our love to grow, certainly, for all people everywhere. And then we have what we're calling our mission, Parkway Mission. Now, we recognize it always has something to do with the Great Commission, reaching disciples, helping the people have a growing relationship with Christ. For these 10 years, and we're a little bit over halfway, we began in 2020, actually introduced it in 21 because of COVID. And so our vision has been, we'll remind you again, it's about reaching new people with new life and next steps. We want to reach new people. We want to be able to reach them and be able to help them to know that they can have new life in Jesus. And we want to continue to give, whether new believers or old believers or been a believer for a long time, we're going to continue to give those steps to discipleship to grow and grow and to be more like Jesus. In fact, we want to create an atmosphere at Parkway Baptist Church to where we are always growing in our love for the Lord Jesus and our love for others, whereby we're seeing more hearts that are being transformed, more people coming to know Jesus, the Lord working through ministries and the members of Parkway Baptist Church so that it's part of our DNA that we're going to continue to reach our, be on mission for the Lord Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, we want to grow so much in our love for Jesus and our love for one another here in the church that the outside world are able to see that. Oh, they want to be a part of it and they want to come and to see what's happening, not just here at our church on our campus, but through Parkway people wherever we are because we continue to be the church. Boy, wouldn't that be nice? Wouldn't you like to see that? Well, do me a favor. Let's see here from this passage. Listen to this description of Parkway people. You've got some notes there you can follow along. Parkway people are called to Jesus. Parkway people are called by Jesus. Nearly 20 times in the Gospels, we find Jesus saying, follow me. He said it to Peter, he said it to James and John, Andrew and Philip. He said to one who was despised and hated by most people, certainly in the city of those who knew him. He said it to the sinner by the name of Matthew, follow me. I think I'm the one that came up with this, but I call him the Garth Brooks disciple because he has friends in low places. It's the same old word, same message he said before, but with Jesus, it's new and it's fresh when it comes to Matthew on that particular day that he was called. How about this? It's new and fresh for us today because he continues to call us today to follow him. Perhaps of the 12 disciples, none had more to give up as the world sees it and yet more to gain to follow Jesus than Matthew. There are some things, if we're going to follow Jesus, if you follow him for salvation or as a believer, if you follow him even more closely, there are going to be some things that you might have to give up. But understand there is so much more to gain. Understand, Matthew had already given up a lot to be where he was, to do what he was doing. He'd given up any possibility of being called a good citizen of his hometown of Capernaum because he'd become a tax collector. He'd given up any idea of ever getting his picture in the paper of being a good guy, maybe his picture in the paper of being a traitor or being someone that turned on his own people. When we think of disciples, we mainly talk about the fishermen who are called to be disciples. Matthew's a little bit different. He's not a fisherman. He's a businessman. He's a tax collector. Now, tax collecting and tax collectors in just about every society, probably not considered very popular. But here was a Jewish man who decided for his own gain that he would come and he would be a tax collector, so he was considered a traitor to his people among the worst of citizens that were there. Some would say that he sold his soul to the devil for the cushy job and lifestyle of the rich and infamous. If with the other disciples, the mostly are fishermen, many of them are fishermen, not all of them, but we know at least seven were, maybe more. If the lesson from the disciples is that Jesus calls the common people, the lesson from Matthew is that Jesus calls the unlikely and the overlooked and the unloved. Where does Jesus find Matthew? We read it a moment ago. He's in his tax collector booth. He's at the edge of town. What's he doing? I think every detail becomes important in the Bible. He's collecting taxes, but I mean, what's his posture? He's sitting at the tax collector's booth, which says something, particularly in that culture and in that society, that'd be very rare to have a job to where you sat all day. They came to him as they passed in and out of town to be able to collect taxes as a comfortable job. It was a good job, or it would be considered maybe a dream job had it not been that everybody hated him. Among the lowest and worst of sinners, he was considered. You know what the biggest lie in the world is today? Maybe particularly in our culture. It's that money can buy you happiness. Is that the more you get, the happier that you will be to get more stuff, to get a higher position. Well, how much is enough? Well, for most of us, it's going to be more than we have now. Even for those who continue to feed on materialism all of their life, even if they could find happiness from what this world has to offer, though that's arguable for all the people who've had those things and are not happy. But even if it could happen all of this life, recognize just going after this world, material things of this world, you're still headed for destruction. If not in this life, then you know in the next, if you're without Jesus. But for Matthew, who'd fallen for the big lie of greed, he apparently had not gotten all that he bargained for. For though he had money and a comfortable position, he had something missing in his life that money had not filled. Of all the disciples, Matthew, though, may be the one that we can identify with most. Not because we're considered a traitor to our company, not because everybody hates us. And I mean us particularly. Most people think they identify with Peter because he was always saying the wrong thing at the wrong time. But here we have Matthew. We may identify with him because we've tasted the good life. You've slept in nice beds. You've eaten good food. You have able to experience what 90% of the world have not experienced. But do those things of this world bring true satisfaction? Matthew found they did not. Matthew had the fortune enough, though, of living in the town where Jesus had his base, or it was his home for the 3-year ministry. Being in the public, I'm sure that he heard Jesus speak with such authority. Also being in the public, I'm sure that he saw or he heard about the great and wonderful miracles that astounded the crowds. Interestingly enough, Jesus may have had other volunteers to follow him for whom he did not extend that call, come and follow me. Some who were not ready. You've got your Bibles open perhaps to Matthew chapter 9. Look at Matthew chapter 8, verses 19 and 20. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 19, across the page or the page before. He said, and a scribe came up and said to him, Teacher, I'll follow you wherever you go. Maybe he saw the popularity of Jesus, saw the miracles. Well, he wanted a little bit of that, wanted him to follow. But Jesus said to him, verse 20, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He had no idea about the sacrifice or about the cost of discipleship, the cost of following Jesus. It appears he was not ready. And then look at verse 21 and 22 of Matthew chapter 8. Another disciple said to him, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, follow me and leave the bed to bury their own dead. Well, it almost sounds heartless maybe from Jesus, but this would be a phrase that someone might use even if their father was no longer alive. So it could be understood and interpreted. He said, you know, I probably need to do what I need to do until I get my inheritance from my dad, and then I'll come and follow you. Some people were not ready for whatever reason. When Jesus said to Matthew, follow me, whatever came before that, we don't know. We can only speculate, but he was ready. He recognized the call in his life, and Matthew left everything and followed Jesus immediately without condition. Have you followed the call in your life? First, have you followed the call in your life for salvation when Jesus said, follow me? If there's someone here, someone listening today, and you've yet to follow the call in your life for salvation, well, you can be sure that we've gathered here today and that the Lord's going to use the rest of our time together so that you might be able to answer that call, that the Lord is calling you. We want to be ready. We want to be able to ready to follow him without condition. And we're asking, probably continue to ask, have you followed the call on your life, follow me as a believer, and continue to follow in whatever direction he has without condition. Jesus' call to Matthew and to us implies two things. One of those is a new life through the forgiveness of sin that by faith we've accepted his grace. Matthew needed forgiveness, as we all do, in order to follow. And the second thing is that he needed to move. He'd been sitting. He needed to come. Following me, following Jesus, implies that we're going to be moving. Most of us are looking, or we found maybe that comfortable place that we might be able to maybe sit and relax, maybe have tranquility in this life, maybe spiritually speaking, if not otherwise. But whether it's a call to salvation, a call to serve him and to tell others, it's a call to ask us to closely follow Jesus wherever he may lead. Maybe chances are, maybe to places that you're going to feel a little uncomfortable. Maybe to do things that you would not or that you could not do unless Jesus led the way. You cannot follow and stay seated spiritually. To follow Jesus implies that we are to go and that we are to grow. I love to walk in old country churches sometimes. Sometimes nobody else is there. And just imagine the history of the church or the people in that church. Sometimes you can see things, maybe give you some idea about the church. I was in a church not too long ago, and they had the old wooden pews. I'd sort of say like ours, but theirs were not cushioned like we used to have. Yeah, but they weren't cushioned. But not in every pew, but every other pew, though. They had pillows in there, and they had cushions. Looked like all of them were handmade, and all of them were a little bit different. Some of them have a name on them, like Aunt Bertha and Sister Mary and Miss Bertha, Brother Buck. Most of them look as if they had been there for decades or so in that particular place, marking their spot, that God forbid somebody comes in and wants to sit in their spot. You know, and you hear it from me often, I hope that we have enough guests that if you have a regular seat, somebody sits in your seat from time to time, and you're nice about it. Now, as I sat there, I also thought this. I saw some of those cushions, and I thought, with names on them, I said, you know, I bet some of these people have already died. Maybe already have, but their cushion sat right there as a memorial that this is the place that they sat, and this is the place that they are. Now, don't misunderstand me. I think y'all ought to sit in church every Sunday. But the only memorial that should be left is the memorial that you gave to Jesus because you served him and you followed his call on your life. He saved you. He did not save you to be comfortable. He saved you in order that you might be more Christ-like, that you might start acting more like him. The Lord calls you, and this is in your notes, the Lord calls you to let go of worldliness and self-interest, but you will gain new life with purpose and direction. The Lord calls you to let go of worldliness and self-interest, but you'll gain so much more, new life with purpose and direction. You've got in your notes maybe three phrases there. You might just ask you to either check or decide which one of these best describes you. I need to follow his call. Ask Jesus to forgive me and be my Savior. In other words, for those who don't have Jesus already as their Lord and Savior, if you're unsure, it can be settled today. You can call upon him, ask Christ to forgive you, ask Christ to come in. Or the second phrase, I'm a follower of Jesus, but I need to follow his call to serve. In other words, maybe you're not growing spiritually, or you're spiritually, you've sat down, you've tried to stay, you've been sitting way too long. Or I know Jesus as my Savior and I'm seeking to follow him. Well, then you want to keep on keeping on. You're following the call to follow me. And every time you get together, every morning that you give up, you find that call again, follow me, and you're ready to. Now, I think if you can assess the situation, just these three easy to define ways where you may be in your journey right now, then I think the next description of Parkway people may help you here just a little bit. Now, even if you're not a member of Parkway Baptist Church, this is maybe for all genuine believers or all those who aspire to be. For Parkway, people care for others. Parkway people care for others. There are some people who are always calculating gains and losses. Boy, they can spot a good deal. They can decide this will be a good place to put my money. This will be a good place. This is where I can save money. Now, men, I want you to understand, ladies may be a lot better than this. than we are. My wife's always coming home after shopping and telling us how much money she saved while shopping. Matthew figured up one way and miscalculated. For as a tax collector, he found he had lost more than he had gained. So Jesus offers him a better deal, another deal. His calculating mind, you can imagine at the tax collector's booth, maybe at that very moment, if he not already decided, he quickly figures the gains and losses. He figures he cannot take his former lifestyle. He cannot take his ill-gotten gain with him and follow Jesus. Even his relationships would need to change. When he calculated the gains and losses, he realized there's much more to be gained with Jesus. Same story is told in Mark and Luke. In Luke chapter 5, it says, particularly gave an emphasis on that he left all. He left it all behind. Matthew teaches you cannot simply ignore the old lifestyle habits of the flesh. Something must be done with them in order to be able to go, in order to be able to grow and move. Though you and I in the flesh, we still have to deal with temptation. We still have to deal with the old nature. But in the Bible, Paul tells us that we must put off the old and put on the new. You did that the moment that you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. But it's something that you've got to continue to do every day. I'm going to put off the old. I'm going to turn away from the old. And I'm going to turn toward Jesus and experience something new. Matthew did that. He threw off the new. And he could have just said it. I'm going to throw off the new. But he demonstrated it. Again, when the same story is told in Luke chapter 5, there's a little bit more emphasis on the fact that they were at Matthew's house. We're not told in Matthew he was his house. But we know he was because of the other two gospels that tell the story. And he threw a great banquet. Jesus was the guest of honor. The disciples were there. It's a farewell dinner party. And it served a dual purpose. It announced to the world he was no longer the person he was. He's a brand new person in Christ. He was not pursuing the world any longer. He's pursuing Jesus. But the second purpose, and we read about it, for Matthew had experienced something truly amazing. Consider, same thing that you've experienced. He met the Savior, had an encounter with Jesus, realizes he has new life in Christ, and he's going to spend eternity in heaven. Boy, pretty good. Had a new posse to hang with and serve with called the disciples. How cool is that? But a stark reality hit Matthew. What about all his buddies that he had? The only ones that really talked to him, spend time with him, other tax collectors. Those who are called sinners from low places. Some are street people, prostitutes, low lives who would not even think of entering church. I mean a synagogue. But Matthew knew these people. He decides, because he's had this encounter with Jesus, he wants them to know about the new life he has in Christ. So he throws this dinner party. He throws this banquet that he can have. I'll have a party, invite him to my house. I'll also invite the disciples. Jesus will be the guest of honor, and we'll just see what happens. You see where we're going with. It's okay that you have relationships with lost and unchurched people, whether it be in your family, whether it be at school, whether it be at work. In fact, sometimes you want to build those relationships. But you want to be sure to invite Jesus to the party every day and then just see what happens. He had the party say, I've changed. I'm not the person I once was. I can no longer do the things I once did. And I want to introduce you to the person who changed my life. In one fell swoop, he said goodbye to greed, goodbye to his old lifestyle, may have spent most of his money for this particular banquet and introduced his friends to Jesus. Matthew found out something that most people miss. Jesus loves all sinners. And without condoning sin, Jesus offers hope. Jesus lived God's welcome to sinners. He embodied God's mercy. He was known as the friend of sinners. The religious people didn't like it because it turned their proud system of self-righteousness upside down. But Jesus sat down to eat with tax collectors, prostitutes, adulterers, and addicts, and people like you and me who are sinners who would be lost as Matthew and his friends in low places were it not for the grace of Christ and his work on the cross. Following Jesus means turning from sin and self and turning toward Jesus who loves and transforms. Matthew serves as a good example of those who left it all behind to follow Jesus and wants others to know him as well. So, the Lord asks you to turn away from sin, but to love sinners. The Lord asks you to turn away from sin, but to love sinners. Everyone here can be involved in helping the lost people to be introduced to Jesus. Let me give you this strategy. You've got some of it there in your notes, kind of a strategy that in 2026, we want all members, we want all of you to be involved at least in some form or fashion of this strategy to be able to reach more people for Jesus. Now, we've done the Hoosier one and Hoosier three. We're going to be talking more about that here in just a moment. But I want you to understand, write this down or keep it with you. It probably wouldn't take you much to think about what it is that you could do. But first, let me ask you a question. Do you know someone who is lost or unchurched? Do you just, in your notes, you could write yes or no. You could even write a name or initial by that if you want. If you don't know anybody, ask the Lord to introduce you to somebody. And I'm going to ask you about these steps to reaching out. First one is intercede. I want you to intercede. In other words, intercession is praying for a lost person by name. We could keep a pretty good long list of lost people that we pray for on a regular basis with our staff. Some of these names that you've given us. And we pray for these. We think prayer is important. And so we encourage you, if you do nothing else, even if you, is to pray intentional. And that would be to develop a caring relationship. Just let them know that you care. Maybe they'll ask, maybe they don't. Even if you don't know how to share, what you going to do? Just care for people the way you think Jesus would. Invite. Invite them to church. Invite them to hear the gospel. Matthew did. We're going to give you more opportunities to be able to invite people to some place to where they're going to hear the good news. And then inform. That is, share your Jesus story. Share your faith testimony. Share the gospel. Share verses that and the plan of salvation. And then number five is involve. And this would be bring them to a small group. And in two ways this is mentioned here. In other words, if you know somebody that is lost or unchurched, if you get involved in a small group, Sunday school class, Bible study group that meets during the week, a group of believers in some way, they are much, much, much more likely, if they've not received Christ, to receive Christ. It'll happen. If you can get involved and they come into a small group of believers, it'll just happen. But if they've already accepted Christ, we have somebody you're praying for, accept Christ, that's not the end. You want to continue, and that is you want to introduce them to a community that they can be involved in and continue to grow. We've talked about this before. We cannot save anybody. Only Jesus can. But we sure want to do our best to arrange a meeting. We want to watch what happens. We're going to be doing more and more of this in 2026 and beyond and over the next 5 years and even beyond that. We want to arrange a meeting for more people to be able to know Jesus. Also, Parkway people connect with others. Talking about Parkway people, what are we learning about Parkway people? Parkway people connect with others. Three statements Jesus said in verses 12 and 13 of Matthew chapter 9. Jesus said, and this is a paraphrase, the healthy don't need a doctor, the sick do. Now, I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just telling you that I had gone about 25 years and maybe more. Hardly ever walked into a doctor's office, an ER, a doc in the box for myself. Walked in there for others sometimes, but I just really felt, never felt a need to until I got to be the age of 60. I know. I'm over 60, but I'm astonished to some of you, but I know it's not. I'm kidding. But felt like, I probably need to start going to checkups and maybe start go to the doctor. I say this for illustration purposes only. Until people see a need, that they know that they need a Savior, that they know they need something, they know they need hope, they will not turn to Jesus. See, we want to befriend people. We want people to be able to, we want to be approachable, that people can come up to us, so when they see that they have a need, that we can tell them and we can point them to Jesus. Who is the great physician? Anybody remember COVID-19? Don't you wish it was a distant memory? What was our plan in 2020 because of COVID-19? It was quarantine. Boy, you got to get away from other people. You got to, not even if you're well, you got to stay away from other people. Aren't you glad that Jesus did not decide that was the best effort, because there is something that is much worse than COVID, and it is the disease caused by sin, separation from God. But instead of COVID, what happened? God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. so that we might be able to know him. He made himself available to us. God's plan was not to have any contact, but instead to have more contact. Jesus is our great physician. He takes care of all our needs, particularly the spiritual disease caused by sin. He provides the only cure. And we ask and we try to pay him back. He says, no charge. The price was taken care of on Calvary. Jesus died on the cross to take care of our penalty for sin. He took on my punishment. This gift, this cure from the burden of sin is available to everyone, not just to the religious. In fact, unless the religious realize their sin and unrighteousness, they'll never be able to know or be able to experience the touch of the great physician. So, you connect by seeing everyone as someone for whom Christ died. You connect by seeing everyone as someone for whom Christ dies. The Pharisees certainly had problems caring and connecting with people, didn't they? But aren't you glad that Jesus didn't have the same hang-ups? In fact, we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 1:15, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Now, when they said tax collectors and sinners in the gospel, and it's not the only time that it's said is in this place, we know who the tax collectors are. Who are the sinners? These are the ones who were considered unclean. Jewish people, particularly, who either had jobs or they had done stuff to where they could never step foot inside a synagogue. And because they knew, and because of that, they were seen certainly as the lowest of society. Who would not, they could not be approach anybody that was religious. So we're going to stop being religious. Instead, we're going to be more like Jesus. The Pharisees were too blind to see that they were sinners in need of Jesus. Jesus said also in verses 12 and 13, here's the third statement that he said. We'll go back to the second in a minute. He said, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I want you to see, because we're envisioning what's taking place. The dinner party's taking place. The Pharisees maybe see in a window. Often things would be open in those days, and maybe even see them in the yard. Who knows how big of a party it was. See Jesus and the disciples with tax collectors and sinners. And they're offended by that. They come to the disciples first and said, why is Jesus with tax collectors and sinners? Disciples didn't answer, but Jesus did. And he tells them in the third statement, I've not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. I believe when he said that very last sentence, maybe he's talking there with the Pharisees, but he said this, not so the Pharisees could hear because they would be blind to what he was saying. I believe he turned toward the disciples. And he said, I've come to call sinners because he wants them to be a part of it. No one's righteous without Jesus. All must know they have a need for Jesus. And Jesus, the great physician, has come to heal those who are sick because of sin and to save sinners. And he wants you to join him because you were once lost, but now you are found. The second statement, third one we're looking at in those verses, in verses 12 and 13, Jesus quotes in the Old Testament, verse 13 from Hosea chapter 6. And he tells those religious leaders, those who were used to telling others what was up, and even about the Bible, Jesus says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. He didn't say, I'm going to give you a new verse here. But here's the verse. They already knew this verse. I don't know what they thought of it, but Jesus said, you got to go, you're not practicing this. You got to go and you've got to learn what it means. You know what mercy means. It's similar to grace. It's not getting what we might deserve, not getting the condemnation and the judgment, the punishment that we might deserve, but it's loving care for people. In fact, this is the exact quote in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 6. Instead of mercy, the word there is steadfast love. Not sacrifice, not religious ritual. God desires love. This is still scandalous in most middle-class suburban churches. But if we're going to be like Jesus and less like the Pharisees, we'll increase our evangelistic appeal to the homeless and to the prostitutes and the addicts and to the lesbians and the gays and the alcoholics and the pushers and the brokenhearted and the hurting. And then if we do that, we will get a front row seat to watch Jesus transform lives. You know, I told you that really hadn't been to a doctor's office, hardly been, in for 25 or 30 years till the age of 60. It is true. It's not the whole story, though. One of my best friends for the past 35 years has been a physician. So anytime something happened, I usually just call him up by remote control. He'd do what he kind of needed to do. I think he was the one when I turned 16 said, you know, you might want to start getting regular checkups with somebody close to you. Always had great wisdom. Might have been tired of me calling him, I don't know. But my physician friend helped me do a youth retreat several years ago. And we were down at the beach, and the two of us were in a church van, just the two of us. We were having to pick up supplies. And right before us, there was a moped motorcycle, a couple of girls on mopeds. And one of them veered off the road and made a couple of flips and ended up in a ditch. Of course, we stopped and rendered aid. Okay, he rendered aid. And while we were there, we could tell, a little bit inebriated, maybe a lot inebriated. And he was, as he began to offer care and help, the other girl looked over at him and said to him, are you a doctor? He said, no, I'm not, but I slept at a Holiday Inn Express last night. That tells you how long ago, I guess, that it was. Somebody tell the younger people that used to be a commercial. But he helped her, bandaged her up, gave her a little bit of care that she needed, told her she probably needed to stay off the road for a while. You know, most of us, we're not physicians. Maybe we didn't sleep at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But we know the one who is the great physician and the healer of our souls. We are looking for you to connect with people who need to know the good news of Jesus. The risk is too great for you not to. These are great days for you to renew your relationship with the living Lord Jesus. Invite others to hear the good news. On March 1st of this year, we're going to emphasize again the Hoosier 3 and encourage people. You don't have to wait till then, of course, but we're going to encourage you to invite, you know, to certainly intercede for people. We're going to encourage you to invite people. Easter is not just a little month from then, but we want to see between now and then, we want to see more and more people who are lost to be able to come so that they might be able to hear the good news of the gospel. We want to give opportunities for that. But we also want to encourage you to be intentional in developing that care relationship. We want to encourage you to grow that relationship, and we want to encourage you to inform and tell people about your faith story, how you know Jesus. Many will respond if just invited, and particularly invited by someone that they know. So also, Parkway people continue to look more like Jesus. Parkway people continue to look more like Jesus. So that certainly want to be more like him. I've not hidden the fact that I like the series called The Chosen. And in the series called The Chosen, I like it for one reason. It causes me and hopefully many others to search the scripture again. Did it say that? Did it really say that? Could it have happened that way? But in the scene to where Matthew has called, or Jesus has called and said, follow me, and Matthew responds, here's the response of Peter. Peter says to Jesus, what are you doing? Do you have any idea what this guy's done? Do you even know him? Jesus says, yes. Peter says, I don't get it. Jesus said, you didn't get it either when I chose you. Peter says, but this is different. I'm not a tax collector. And then Jesus says that iconic line, perhaps of all of the chosen, get used to different. I want you to get used to different. I want you to get used to different at Parkway Baptist Church, with even more of an access to be able to exalt the name of Jesus and be able to share Jesus with people who do not know him, and loving like we've never loved before because of what Jesus is doing. But this doesn't happen unless it's happening in your life. Get used to different because you've decided that you're going to follow him wholeheartedly. You're going to be more like him in your actions and your attitude and your words. I, along with you, going to continue to change and be more and more. May we see lost in the unchurched people through the eyes of Jesus. And if you're not a Christian today, if you don't know Jesus today, well, hear the words. Follow me. He's arranged it today that you might be here, that you might be listening today, in order that you might be able to respond and that you might follow him. Let's bow together. Father God, we thank you for being able to come into your presence today. We know that the Holy Spirit is in our midst. Holy Spirit's always with us. We thank you that we can trust you for all things. We can trust you for today. We can trust you with all the things that we're facing in life. And we know that you're never going to leave us nor forsake us. We know that you always have a plan and a purpose. Thank you, Lord, for calling us into service. Those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus, may we learn certainly from Jesus, and may we be more like him, but also learn from Matthew today, and that we know everything changes. Nothing is different as a follower of the Lord Jesus. And may other people be able to see Jesus in us. May we, Lord, help us to create opportunities to where people can see us different. And Father, we pray for anyone here today, anyone listening, doesn't know you as Lord and Savior. May they respond to the call today that you give to follow Jesus. We lift up these prayers in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Would you please stand? We're going to be singing our song of commitment today. We encourage you to follow the Lord's call on your life. I have no doubt every one of us has a call on our life today where Jesus says, follow me. Continue to follow the direction because you believe you're following and have faith that the Lord's leading and guiding you to follow you, maybe because you've drifted away or maybe you've sat still to where you need to be going and growing and doing for the Lord, or to follow Jesus for the first time. If you're following Jesus for the first time, giving your heart and life to him, I'm going to be standing down here at the front, worshiping along with you. Pastor Bobby's here. We just come to one of our sides and say, I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Maybe you've done it, but you've never made it public. We encourage you to do that today. Our altar is open if you'd like to come pray or come pray with one of us. Maybe you want to pray for a lost person or lost people that you know. If you want to join the church, you can do that today. You come as we sing.